Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12 this morning. And we're going to read there, and then we'll go with the message. And they brought the young, let's see, verse 7, it starts, "And now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered, and in the window sat a certain man named Eucalus, who was sinking into," don't name your kids that, "and who was sinking into a deep sleep. And he was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, 'Do not trouble yourself, for his life is in him. Now when he had come up and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted.'" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, today we thank you and praise you. So thankful for each person here today and those that are watching online. And Lord, we're praying this morning, God, as we have sensed your presence in this room thus far. We pray, God, in this time of preaching of the word, Lord, that you will still and continue to pour your spirit out upon us. Lord, may you challenge our hearts, God, with understanding today. Lord, not only here, but may you bless the kids' church in the back. Lord, let your anointing fall upon Pastor Tim and those there. We ask it in Jesus' name. To you be the praise and the glory. Amen. You know, a few weeks back, I was visiting with one of our area directors that is over a certain mission field that the AG is trying to win to the Lord. And I asked him about a certain type of missions the AG has been using for some time now. And that type of missions is what we call Live Dead and the Live Dead teams, in which they have witnessed some success, yet it has been very limited in what they're doing. And so I asked him the question about it, and he shared with me one thing that needed to be added for them to see great success. It was for them to encourage the new converts that they're winning into starting a local church, a church among them. And in the Bible, the local church met in houses and different things. And there's something about the natives. Listen, there's something about the natives starting a local church that seems to be a catalyst to substantial and lasting growth in that community. And that had been the plan for missionaries for many decades. They'd go win people and start a church there and then turn it over to them. Well, I'll give you an example of the power of the local church. In Cuba in 1959, most of the missionaries were ran out of the country at that time when the government changed hands. And many that would remain were arrested, and they couldn't preach the gospel. They were put in prison. But in the 1990s, when restrictions concerning religion started to lift up a little bit in Cuba, and after those that were able to get back in and share the gospel, they found in Cuba that there were churches still going. That even though the missionaries were kicked out, the local church was still thriving. It wasn't just hanging on by a thread. It was actually still winning souls, and there was people being saved through that local church. As of 2017, there is nearly 2,000 official churches in Cuba and over 8,000 house churches. There's something about the local church is what I'm preaching about this morning. Something about this gathering that we call the local gathering. There's something about it that helps us to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here in America today, there seems to be a growing group of professing Christians that are anti-church and that are anti-gatherings. Let me say that again. In our country today, the country that's supposed to hold the torch of the gospel, there seems to be a growing group of professing Christians that are anti-church, anti-local church, and anti-gathering. And it's sad, but that is the truth, because I see it many times. They make statements like this: you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I agree. You don't need the local body to serve God. The church is the people that are saved. The church is in us. I get those things. I don't need to go to church to worship God. The church has too many problems. But if you really look at the Bible, listen, you will find all of their excuses for connecting to a local body to have no merit. Let me just say that. All the excuses you hear, it may be true, the church is in you and me, and we take the church with us. But let me tell you, there's something about the local church that God put in the Bible. It's His tool. It's His place of meeting. It's the place that we come together. And all the excuses that are out there to keep you from coming to church have no merit when it comes to the Word of God. A Christian that is unattached by choice from the local church is incomplete. I know that statement is a tough statement. I get it. Sometimes you may be in a place that does not have a local church. Or maybe you're in a place that don't have the flavor of church that you like. I've been there. I lived in a community that didn't have an AG church, and I'm an AG man. So I went across the state line and found an AG church. But I get it. There are some reasons. You may not be able to come because of something going on in your life, something physical or something like that. I understand that. But when we make our mind up there's no need for the local church, I'm going to tell you it's unscriptural. Because the Bible speaks of the local church many times over. It talks about the local church. I get the whole concept. I had people in Campo, they didn't want to join our local church, or they didn't want to fill out membership. I get that. They said, well, we're part of the church. I understand that too, but you won't be able to vote on the business deals. I understand that. It's not like I woke up yesterday and said I'm going to preach. But there are those. I understand the concept of that. But the local church is important. Listen, I'll give you an example. To be incomplete, you know, a fireman needs a fire truck. Amen? A football player, you may say you're a football player, but you need a field. A water skier needs some water. I knew a guy way back there, decades ago, he was a water skier. I'm going to tell you, a water skier needs a boat. He would show up at Lake Meredith down at the marina, and he'd have his ski, but no boat. And there he would be right there on the dock just with his ski. And I'm thinking, you're a water skier. You probably need to get a boat. But I'm just saying today, the Christian and the local church should go together. There should be a church in our lives, a local congregation in our lives. A race car driver needs a car. The Christian needs a church. A Christian and the local church go together. And that's a concept that we're getting away from, but the truth is, it's in the Word of God. I think, you know, we can believe a lot of things out there, but as Christians, we should look at the Word of God and see what the Word of God says, and let the Word of God be the lamp and the guide to what we make our minds up over. And here we have it. In our text this morning, we find Paul preaching at a local church. He's in a building. He's on the third. They're on the third floor. Or at least the young man is. Listen, you know what day of the week he's going to church on? He's going to church on Sunday. It says, on the first day of the week, as it is the habit of the disciples to meet, is what it speaks of. Now, I may have added some words there. But the disciples came together on that day. This is just one local church. Listen, this is just one local church that's mentioned in the Word of God. And we find our text there this morning, and that's where Paul is. If we pay attention, you'll notice that there's many local churches. This is the first thing I want to point out this morning. There was a network of local churches in the New Testament. Network of people meeting together on that first day of the week in the New Testament. This is not something the Baptists came up with, or the Methodists, or the AG, or the Lutherans. This is something that was actually seen in the Bible. There actually were dozens of local churches mentioned. Did you know if you look in the New Testament, you'll find over 30 local churches listed in the New Testament, ranging from house churches to those that met in buildings. Jerusalem had a church, Antioch had a church, Corinth had a church, Rome had a church, Philippi had a church, Thessalonica had a church. And then we look at the seven churches that we find in the book of Revelation that we've been talking about on Wednesday night. You'll find there's seven more local churches. They were listed in there. Somewhere in the Bible, the people realized that the local church was important. It's a place they came together as Christians. The local church. Lydia had a house church. Paul met a group of women down at the river, and they all got saved. Lydia's whole house got saved, and she started a church. She was a pastor of the church. Listen, she was a woman pastor. And she was preaching the gospel. And if you really study a little bit about her, it was a very thriving church, a church that was really doing quite well in the kingdom of God. You can find congregation after congregation in the Bible about the local church. You know what you don't find is a bunch of people running around like Long Rangers. Whoa, don't shout me down. But you find people connected to the local church. The Christian attached himself to a group of believers. What we do today, calling local church, is very biblical. Not having a local church is unbiblical. Not being attached somewhere to a local church is unbiblical. Listen, they met in buildings and houses. Here we have Paul in a building preaching on that first day of the week, and he's preaching the Word of God. And if you think I preach long, you should have sat under Paul's preaching. He had a guy fall out, and not in the spirit. He had a guy fall asleep, took the spirit to wake him up, and then he preached till midnight after that. So we know that lengthy sermons are part of the local church. Everybody said, amen. Had to throw that in there. But is that local church? Jerusalem had the upper room that they met in. Powerful place to meet. Could you imagine? I've been what's supposed to be the upper room, that place where the Holy Ghost came down and they were filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues. They were in a building. And God met them there. Acts 2, verse 46. So they went from house to house. You want a scripture for connect groups? You'll find it in the Bible because many of them met house to house. And so we find that the church, the local church, Peter and John were on their way to a prayer meeting at the temple of God when they met the beggar, said, hey, give me some silver. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but what we have we give unto thee. And he was healed that very moment, and a great revival broke loose. Where? In the local church. There's something about what we do on Sunday, and listen, we need to start standing up and say, it's scriptural, it's biblical, it's found in the Bible. There are congregation after congregations spoke of in the New Testament, because it's something that we come together for. The key here is the fact that church gathered together. I love seeing y'all on Sunday. Amen. Hope y'all like seeing me. I'm glad that we get to gather together and just worship our King and our God together. They are an example for all of us when it comes to having a day set aside and a place that we come together that we call ours and a place that we come together to worship God. They're an example of what believers can do when we come together in His name's sake. They showed us that Christians need to be plugged into another, a group of believers. Listen, what we get in a local church is something can bless you spiritually. There's a story of a pastor went to visit a church member who had stopped attending services, finding them sitting alone in front of a warm fireplace. Without saying a word, the pastor takes tongs and removes one of the burning embers from the center of the fire and placing it on the cold hearth right next to it. They watch together as solitary that one little ember would slowly fade and the fire started to fade out of it while the rest of the fire continued to burn brightly. Before leaving, the pastor puts that dead ember back into the middle of the fire where it immediately began to glow again from the heat of the others. The member, understanding the fiery message that the pastor said without a word, understood what it meant, that when we absent ourselves from the church, we have a tendency to draw cold. But when we're in the midst of the church body, the local church, we have a feeding, a spiritual feeding that can help us stay on fire for God. I'm telling you what we find in the New Testament about the local church. Is it a nuisance on Sunday? I don't know. I get tired of the other 6 days of the week. I'm telling you, it's a good thing to come together and praise God. Amen? It's a good thing to come to the house of the Lord and enjoy. Enjoy some spiritual blessings from above. Oh, that the Holy Ghost would move in a powerful way. Hallelujah. To absent, if we're not careful, and to take up the theology that the local church has no purpose, I'm going to tell you, is not of the Bible. The local church does have a purpose. So what makes the local church so needful in our lives? The local church possesses gifts that Christ gave, designed especially for believers. I want you to hang with me just for a few moments here. You've heard this verse, and you'll hear it many times over. In Ephesians 4:11-13, it says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers." May I just say, just for a moment, there is a bunch of there is talk that the pastor is not important. I'm going to tell you, the pastor's position is a gift to the church. I was speaking with a guy just the other day, and he kept saying, like, well, you know, I said, well, we need to get a pastor in there. And it was like, we're doing good. I get that. But let me tell you, there's something about the gifts that God gives to the church that will increase the church, that will help the church, and these gifts are from Jesus. Their responsibility is this: to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And He says, this will continue. We all come to such unity in our faith, knowledge of God's Son, that we will mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. The local church is a place to grow spiritually. It's a place that we glean. It's a place that we learn. It's a place that we grow spiritually. It's one of the things about the church body. Christ has given gifts for that very reason. That scripture says the gifts to the church are to equip. The gifts that are in the local church are to equip. Listen, the word equip means this. Listen to what it says: to make someone completely adequate are sufficient for something. To make adequate, to furnish completely, to cause, to be fully qualified with inadequacy. So we find to equip. The church is a place that I can learn. Can I tell you this morning that a lot that I had when I was a baby Christian and what I learned came from a group of believers in Spearman, Texas, the Sunday school teacher, the pastor, and the evangelist that came through. I'm going to tell you today, I was being equipped every Sunday, every Wednesday. God was making a difference in my life, helping me to be the man that God wanted me to be. There's something about setting under teaching. There's something about setting under preaching. Something that can guide and that can help us. I can't tell you how many times I've been to church when I didn't want to go to church. But the wife said, "You're the pastor." But I can tell you other times when I've lost a family member or I've had a difficult time going through, I've found that I have been blessed when I come to church. I can tell you, I sit on the right-hand side of Spearman when my mama passed away. And I went to church that Sunday morning, and God just came all over me over in that pew that morning. I'm going to tell you what I found out about church. Hallelujah. It's a place that I can be blessed spiritually. It's a place that I can be encouraged. It's a place that I can learn. Hallelujah. It's a place that God touches my soul and my heart, and it helps me to live life. Church, the local church, is needed. It helps us. It equips us spiritually. And it teaches us the Word of God. The go is to become mature in the Lord. That's the maturity of it, to grow in God. That's what the Scripture says. It says in that verse, and in measuring, it says there somewhere to all to come in such unity in our faith in the knowledge of the Son, and we will mature. We will mature to be equipped, to grow, to learn that we can grow in the Lord. No more tossed to and fro. That's King James. No more tossed around with every doctrine that comes out, every opinion that happens. Getting grounded in the Word of God. Can I tell you this morning, you need the Word of God in the day that we're living. You need the Word of God in the day that we're living. No more being misled. Can I tell you, the devil's not going to look at some saint that's been there 50 years, been studying the Word of God, and try to lead them astray. He's going to gather somebody that has not been in the Bible. We live in a time that we need to understand this. We need to get in it. We need to read the stories of the Bible. I can't tell you how many times I've read it, but I want it to get in my mind, want it to get in my heart. When I hear an illustration of something, I'll think, that is not really what the Bible says. That you need to look at the other side of the story. I seen it the other day with a post, a little video, and I thought, that you are leaving Exodus out. You're leaving Numbers out in that. How do I know that? Because the Word of God, I've been reading it for quite some time. I believe it's a lamp and a light. I believe it gives us the truth. How else can I divide? How else can I stand in a world today that we're living in? And we need the Bible today, young people. You need to get in it. You need to learn it, because it's going to be that lamp under your feet and light under your path. There are so many quick little reels out there that are ungodly. They are not led by the Word of God. They sound good. They taste good. They look good. But when you add them against the Word of God, it is nothing but a lie from the devil. Can I tell you what Satan did in the wilderness when Jesus was there, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? He took the Word of God and twisted it. But Jesus, how did he know that? Because he is the Word. Satan tried to mislead him by twisting it and making it sound good, but he corrected the devil every time with what? The true Word of God. I have to really be quiet sometimes when I see certain things, because then I may private message somebody. But let me tell you, I'm not looking to fight on social media. But I'm going to tell you today, social media is leading a lot of people astray, because there's a lot of false teachers out there today. And why? Why are people biting into it? Because they're not really getting in to the local church that is gifted by God to help us to grow and understand the Word of God. Come on, you got to understand the Word. You've got to get the Word in. You want to overcome, you want to be a fighter in the kingdom of God, get the Word of God in you. Because the Word of God is what's powerful. The Word of God, the true Word of God, is what Satan will, he understands he got to bow down to it in the name of Jesus. So here we have that Word. The go is to mature. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth into that situation. Listen, I'm going to tell you that the enemy's not concerned about my opinion. Lonnie Farrell used to tell me, we all have one. And I said, you have more than me. No, just kidding. If he's hearing me, he'll laugh at that. But I'm saying today, we all have an opinion, but it's the Word of God that packs the punch. Amen? The Word of God is what defeats. The Word of God is what gives you victory. When we learn the Word of God and how to use the Word of God. Satan, I'm going to tell you, I submitted myself therefore unto God. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Flee from me. The Word of God is the power that God has given us. We learn it, study ourselves to be approved unto God, that we can divide it correctly. The local church is a place to learn the Word of God. The internet's not the place to pick it up. It is the local church that equips the Christian, where we learn the things that God wants us to learn. So what does this equipping look like? How do we get that? Can I tell you this morning, the local church has many activities for equipping the saint. This, what we call the local church today, has many activities. I'm not talking about programs this morning. I mean, you know, you can get so many programs going that you just can't get anything done. Amen? I'm talking about activities in the local church that can equip the saints. One of the activities this morning, you are already involved in it if you're sitting here or watching online, called the preaching of the Word. I love preaching, if you can't tell. I love hearing preaching. I love listening to preaching going down the road. I love good preaching. Amen? I believe the preaching of the Word. And there's such a thing as Pentecostal preaching, and there's such a thing as other kinds of preaching. I love Pentecostal preaching where the Holy Ghost gets upon the guy that's preaching. I love preaching. Preaching touches our hearts and our souls. Preaching is a place that we can be equipped. Now, that's different than teaching. There's two different things when it comes to that, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But preaching, our text this morning that we read, Paul was preaching the Word. We find in many of the places, that's what Paul did. He went to preach. He said, I preach the cross. I preach. A lot of them gathered together for preaching. Apollos was preaching the Word of God. Preaching is something that is involved in the church body. Preaching is something that the church needs. Why? Because God has given preaching the way of a simplicity, a way of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. But preaching also helps us to grow in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've sat in services that I wished I was not in when they were preaching. Amen? Those services where, Johnny, I know you love your shoes all shiny, but some of those services I've been in, my shoes looks like somebody stepped on them because that preacher was preaching right into my business, and nobody has the right to be in my business. Isn't it amazing how God, I can tell you what happens in the preaching time many times, and you may not know this, but when you're preaching, God's dropping some things in your spirit and your soul that are not in my notes, not in my sermon, never thought about it, but God says, say this. And I'm not that type that when I'm preaching, say, what'd you say, God? I don't want it to be about me, but I just let things flow through me, and God has a way. I love when people are being led by the Spirit that are preaching by the Holy Spirit because God is touching our soul. I don't know about you, but I've come to service and say, God, I need a word from you this morning. Preaching is a powerful thing, and it's one of these things that the church is getting away from, but it's something that God has ordained in the church. Preaching is a powerful thing. Now, that's no fun when a guy's preaching and then he stops and looks at him and he says, you get up here. But I'm going to tell you, God works in powerful ways. Amen? God works in the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word works in such a way that it stirs our heart, admonishes us sometimes, corrects us, but it also encourages us. There's so many things that the preaching of the word can do. I've had people say, well, you said this. I said, I didn't say that. You must have heard that. And it encouraged them, so I'll take it, though. But I'm just saying the word of God does amazing things when we preach. How do we equip? Through the preaching of the word. Another way of being equipped is the teaching of the word. He gave teachers and the teaching of the word. Can I tell you, there are those that are truly gifted by God to teach. Amen? There are those that truly have a gift. They bring things in a way that it just makes sense. And then there's others like me, I just teach. I'm just saying today that God gives us gifted teachers. Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many of people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Gathered the people and taught the people. Teaching is something that needs to be done in the church. Teaching is those moments that you can raise your hand and ask the question. I've had people raise their hand while I'm preaching and think, well, we're not teaching. Had two ladies right over here one day. They just had their hand up like that. And I addressed it after service because I was preaching, not teaching. Teaching is where we learn. Teaching is something. You know, I loved it when I got out of high school and I thought I'll never go to class again. You know what I didn't like in school was studying all the time. And here I am. God has a sense of humor. And I'm telling you, there's something about studying in Sunday school. Now, the superintendent didn't encourage me to do this, but I'm fixing to do it. There's something about studying in environments, whether they're devotion groups, whether they're small groups, of setting and teaching and learning, because it's in a teaching environment that we learn deeper depths of certain subjects. Our curriculum, it turns over every 7 years, or it used to. I'm not sure if it still does that. Luke can correct me. But the fact is, the Bible, it goes through the Bible. It's teaching all the time. What did I get thrown into when I got saved? I got thrown into the adult Sunday school class. You live in a small town, you don't get the options. My first class to teach was the adult class. Oh, they were patient with me. But I'm saying today I was got into that class. Why? Because I wanted to learn the Word of God. I didn't just take a book. I was prepared for the teacher. I studied that book that week. I was ready with my questions. I was ready because I was going to be involved in what was going to be taught. My book didn't just lay around. I opened it up and read the subject. And I had a teacher. Every Sunday, he wouldn't teach the subject. Oh, I got upset at him. I thought, why give me the book if you're not going to cover what was in the book? Yeah. Well, I ended up being the teacher. I'm just saying today, it's a good place to learn. I know it costs you another hour on Sunday, but my word, you had all week. Don't shout me down. All right. Teaching is where we learn. Amen. Think about Jesus. He taught 24/7 with the disciples. It wasn't just by coincidence that they were ready. They weren't ready for him to die on the cross, but they were ready according to the word of God. The things that he had said to them in those teaching moments all of a sudden stirred up in their hearts, and they say stuff like this: now we get it. Now we understand it. Can I tell you, when it's a teaching environment, the Holy Spirit puts things in. You let it in, and when it comes to that circumstance, all of a sudden it rises up again, and now we get it. Now we understand it. Now it gives me power and strength of understanding the Word of God. It's those moments. Teaching is powerful. That's one of those ways of equipping a saint. The opportunity to sing unto the Lord. Can I tell you, a worship service, as we come together, let me ask you, how many can sing? That's what I thought. All you that's raised your hand, Kylie, did you see all of them? Okay. You know, Ephesians 5:19 says this: speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. We get in the local church, we have what we call the worship service. The praise service, whatever you want to call it. But we come together to praise God. Amen? We get to come together and lift our voices unto the Lord. I know some of you will quote, hey, just to make a joyful noise unto God. I get that. But it's about coming together and lifting our voice unto the Lord. There's something about when God's people join together in worship unto Him, how God falls down in the midst. Can I tell you, it's not about the concert sound. It's not about how many guitar players. It's not about how many keyboard we have. It's about the heart of all of us come together. It's not about whether you can sing or not. If you can't sing, don't sing loud. But if you need to blast it on out, go ahead. I'm saying it's about the heart. We get to come together in the local church and praise our King together. There's something about praise that moves Satan off his mountain and God rises up. There's something about praising the Lord in the midst of your battle that you will find victory. Oh, I'm telling you, saints, we need the praising of God together, the moving of the Holy Spirit in the midst of it, that God comes down into this room and manifest himself in the praise. We get to come down and worship God together. I'm going to tell you, I love singing, and I love it when I hear other. This place is shaped in the way that the voices just really sound good when we're all singing. Don't worry about not being able to sing. It'll sound good in this sanctuary. But I'm just saying, we get to come together and sing. That's what I'm coming. I mean, it's part of the service. Every Sunday, every time we come together, Wednesday night, we have a worship service that's coming together and to praise our Lord together. Listen, it's an opportunity to be part of a community. When we come together, how do we equip? Being part of a community. You know, they'll tell you that if you talk to a lot of gang members, the reason they join that group is because they feel part of a community. They just need somebody to love on them, and they feel that even though they're doing terrible things, they have a community there that they live in. I'm going to tell you, the local church, the way we equipped each other is that we also have the opportunity. Acts 2:42 says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice that this community had doctrine, it had fellowship with Christ. Our fellowship, our friendship is in Christ Jesus. 1 John tells us that our fellowship is in Him. Our fellowship together. We have an opportunity to be a part of a community that we go through. And sometimes, does it get interrupted? Yes, it does. And sometimes, do we have a moment trying to get through that? Yes, we do. But it gives us that opportunity to be part of a community. That of breaking bread together. that's talking about communion, coming together as saints. You know, I love a communion service, and I can't tell you how many I've done, but the fact is that you and I are coming together, and we have the same Savior, and we have the same salvation, and we have the same God and King, and we come together in community and break that bread together, saying, we are one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I know that I can depend on my brothers and sisters of Christ, just like you can depend on your brothers and sisters of Christ. I wrote a note a long time ago when I first got saved to myself. I said, you know, I have yet to find in the world, I did not find friends near as close as the friends that I found in the family of God. What happened? I felt I belong. Come on, church, I'm going to tell you something. The local church should be a place that we feel like family. Not cliquish, but I'm telling you, like family, that we love one another and we have feelings for one another, godly feelings and the right kind of feelings. We have that local church of belonging. People ask me what church I belong to, and I'll tell them, San Jacinto Assembly of God. There's a good pastor there. No, I tell them there's good people, good folks. That's one of the things that Robin and I felt when we preached here the first time back in March of 2008. We said we felt like we've always belonged. Can I tell you, over the years, there's been things that have interrupted that, but God has a way of bringing the peace back in. Being part of the family. Next thing is opportunity to serve in the gifts that God has given. Can I tell you this morning that every one of us have a gift? Now, some told me my gift was gab. Could be a little bit. But we all have them. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God. Every one of us have a gift. It's a place to let your gift shine. A place to let your gift shine in the local body. Let your gift be who God has gifted you to be. And it's an opportunity to send and to be sent. Now listen, Acts 13, 2 and 3 says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Here's at a local church. The Spirit said, Now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I called them. And then having fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, and they sent them away. Listen, the local body is a place that we can send people. Our missions deal, we just finished it 2 weeks ago, is sending missionaries. We do about $1,300, $1,400 a month of sending missionaries in all different places, U.S., all that. That's sending. We have sent missionaries from this congregation. But let me tell you, it's another place that we also send each other out into the local church or out in the local community that we live in. It's a place that we can be equipped for evangelizing and sending. We're going to do an outreach at San Jacinto Park this coming summer, waiting for that opportunity. And it's opportunity to grow in loving one another. Opportunity to grow in loving one another. You want to grow spiritually? You know how you grow spiritually in the church? There are going to be opportunities for you to grow spiritually. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I mean there's going to be some times that you get mad at one another. You're going to get upset with one another. Amen? If I was to have you raise your hand, how many of you have been upset with me? Don't do it. But I get it. I understand it. I would be a fool to think everybody's been happy with me 24/7. But let me tell you something this morning. Every church you go to, there's going to be some issues. Every pastor you have, there's going to be an issue. It's those moments that we learn. The Bible says, Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. That is to love one another. And that is the time that we understand the love. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Oh, aren't you glad? The local church is going to be a place that we're going to have to display the love of Jesus. Aren't you glad the first time you messed up, the first time you sinned where you shouldn't have sinned, aren't you glad the first time you said something you weren't supposed to say, or you made Jesus unhappy, that he didn't just kick you to the curb and said, it's over, I've had enough of that? But we are to learn how to love. I'll guarantee you, and I say that because I've pastored long enough, there will always be a problem sometimes in the church where we have to love one another through it. We have to let the Word of God stir up inside of us. I'm so glad our Savior loved me enough in my sinful life that he gave his life for me. You know what Satan multiplies on? He'll multiply on the faults of others for you to see them. But can I say today, the local church does not come without its challenges. Remember, we have leaders that we are to equip one another for the ministry. And if you think everybody's going to love you in the ministry, I got news for you. There are going to be people that don't like you. There's going to be people that talk behind your back. There's going to be people that have words that are really not that nice for you. But I'm going to tell you today, that does not say, all right, the local church is void. It's a place that we learn to go forth in love. It's a place that we learn how to say, I'm sorry. It's a place that says, I apologize. It's a place that we make things right, because that's walking in the fruits of the Spirit. It's a place that we can love one another. I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade going to church for anything else. I love going to church. See, the local church, listen to this, I'm closing. The local church needs the believers to fulfill its purpose. And the believer needs the local church to fulfill their purpose. We have a needy relationship. The local church. I believe with all my heart, if everybody that professed to be a Christian would be in church every Sunday, we wouldn't have big enough buildings in America. But it's sad, we're living in a day that local church does not seem to be that important. Acts 9:19. This is Saul. This is Saul, who later would be named Paul. This is after the road to Damascus. It says, so when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples of Damascus. Now get this just for a moment. He was on his way to Damascus to destroy the Christians. He had a letter in his hand to put them in prison. But he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He saw a bright light, and he said, Lord, what might I do? I always think this is ironic that he sent him to the road called Straight. We can preach that. When you meet Jesus, go to the... Yeah, okay. But there he was. Ananias, I believe it was, went and prayed for him, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul was not a long ranger at that moment. He connected himself to a group of people in Damascus. The very ones that he was coming to destroy, he connected himself to the local church. And they were actually the ones that helped lower him down, because all of a sudden the people in Damascus that he used to be on their team now hated him, and they were going to kill him. And that local church helped him get away. I'm going to tell you, the local church has its place in our lives. Acts 9:26-27. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he didn't just go around. He tried to join to the disciples. Who? The church of Jerusalem, the local church. And we know the story, but they were all afraid of him. Why? Because he tried to kill them all. And he did not believe and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, the encourager, went and helped them to understand that Saul had been saved on the road to Damascus, and he told them of the story, and they welcomed who? This great man of God. He's not that great at the moment, but he ends up writing a lot of the New Testament, and he is like a saint of the saint, and God uses him in a mighty way, but yet he was not a long ranger. He connected himself and came under the authority of the local church. Did he always agree with the local church? No, because he had to confront Peter one time and says, you little hypocrite. And they had a conversation. Was there trouble? Yes, every now and then. But the fact is, he connected himself to a local church. And the local church is what made a difference in Jerusalem. It made a difference in Corinth. It made a difference in Philippi. It made a difference in Ephesus. It made a difference where that local church body was planted. It touched the community that they were living in. Can I tell you this morning, as I close again, this local church, God has planted. God has anointed. And we need to be the church that's going to receive Christians in, that's going to bring a harvest. And we need to understand we have a purpose. Our purpose is not just because Brother Burkhalter planted this thing in 1953 in a storefront on 6th Street, brought it down here in the Army Barracks in 1956, added onto the sanctuary later, and then in 1980 they built this building that we're in right now. I'm going to tell you, you and I have a purpose here. Come on, we got to get a hold of the purpose. I almost preached with a belt on, with a hammer in it. We got to build a church. But I'm just saying today, we got to get it. We got a purpose. We're not dying. We're going to be alive. And we're going to see God do an amazing thing. Amen? The local church is powerful if it's doing what God has called it to do. If we let the gifts that God has given the church operate in this church and let the gifts of the Spirit flow, we're going to see amazing things. Because what we do here on Sundays and Wednesdays as we gather together is absolutely biblical. Amen? Stand with me this morning. I'm closing. The local church. I don't know where I would be today if it wouldn't have been for a local church. The local church gave me the invitation to come to church. The local church, when I came down and I stained the altar with my tears and snot, I know that's gross. It was the local church that took me in and said, I'm glad God done something with you. You were a mess out there. But they welcomed me with open arms, and they helped me to let the gifts that God had given me flow. It was the local church that helped me get started in the courses to become a pastor. It was a local church that loved on me. It was a local church that made a difference in my life. It was the local church that I came out of one family and came into another. If I would have tried to survive on my own, which I had tried that sometimes again in my life before all that, I would have never survived. It was the local church and God working through the local church that made a difference in my life. So it's time that we tune out all the negative in this country we live in about there's no need for the local church, there's no need for pastors, there's no need for all this, and understand God has ordained it. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, today we thank you. Father, we're thankful for this church, God, that got planted in 1953. Lord, with the vision that you gave Brother Burkhalter, and then Brother Suttle came and carried it for 20 years after Brother Burkhalter carried it for 35. And Lord, we're thankful that the vision is still strong. We're thankful, God, that you've given us a facility that's paid. But Lord, we know it's not about the building. It's about the people that occupy the building and your presence, God. Lord, help us to be that local church, God, that's going to impact this community, that, Lord, we see it. God, we see it in the news, God. This town called Amarillo, God, needs Jesus. Lord, what's happening is wrong, God. And we got 300 churches, local churches, God. And we need a move of your hand, God, upon the local churches once again to see something happen in this country that we live in and in this community we call Amarillo. Lord, equip this church, God, to love on those that have been hurt, to love on those that have went wayward, and help them to come back under relationship with you. And God, that when they get in, that they'll feel a family in this place, God, that's going to say, hey, Jesus forgave you. We're going to help you grow. And Father, may you anoint, bless each person, God, here this morning, throughout this week, in Jesus' name, amen.